You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another fresh episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, and this is the show where we give you the daily scoop on everything going on with your favorite basketball team. Today's Locked On Rockets episode is brought to you courtesy of SeatGeek. Download their mobile app for the easiest way to buy tickets, and the promo code LORockets will get you a $20 rebate on your first purchase. So as we chat on this Monday evening, the preseason is finally in full swing. Of course, the Rockets opened up play on Sunday evening at Toyota Center. Big win over the obviously outmatched Shanghai Sharks, that's Yao Ming's team in China. A lot of positives. If you haven't heard last night's podcast, we had Calvin Watkins of ESPN talking about the latest negotiations with Donatas Moniunas, who remains a restricted free agent and has not yet reported to Rockets camp because of his outstanding contract issues. And we also had a post-game show last night breaking down the numerous positives from that game, including an incredibly strong performance from Nene, 16-10 from James Harden, finally officially the point guard in limited minutes. A lot of encouraging things. KJ McDaniels looked dynamic off the bench. Several dunks, moved extremely well without the ball, seemed to have great chemistry with James Harden. So post-game show last night, lots of positives. We really dived into the micro-level analysis. And I'm aware that it's one game. We're certainly not going to look at Mike D'Antoni's rotation or the play of anyone in any one preseason game, let alone against the Shanghai Sharks, and say, you know what, this means that much. But the reason we're doing this micro-level analysis is because, you know what? We've been talking macro for the last couple of months here on Locked On Rockets. That's ever since it was clear what the Rockets roster was going to be from mid-July onward. We've had a lot of time to look at big picture where this team stands in the Western Conference and where this franchise is going. What we've been waiting on is actual basketball games and insight from the floor itself. Little things we can tell about what players reported to camp ready to go, how people are going to mesh in Mike D'Antoni's system, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're focusing on a very macro level for the most part, because I know that's what you guys, diehard Rockets fans, have been wanting to hear. However, we do still want to blend that a little bit with the macro, I should say. Because here's the thing. While those of us that are diehard fans, we're following basketball throughout the year. There's obviously a large contingent, probably the majority of sports fans, who just start tuning in to the NBA in October. Because you know what? They know the regular season starts at the end of October. So they start reading more, going to more NBA websites, NBA pages, to really start learning more after kind of tuning out in August and September. Everybody's focused on return of NFL and college football, Major League Baseball, pennant races, all those sorts of things. So you're really seeing a big portion of the regular audience tune back into the NBA. Again, I know that's not you guys. We are diehards. But what this means is this big audience that's tuning back in, well, national journalists are putting out really great products this month, great previews for the Rockets as well as every other team around the NBA because they know it's the month for peak readership. So what that means for us as Rockets fans is that a lot of really great basketball writers around the entire country from now until the end of October are going to be writing some really interesting feature pieces about what they think of the Rockets, what they think of this season, and really trying to give us a better expectation for what's going to happen in the next 7 months of this 2016-2017 campaign for the Houston Rockets. And there's going to be a lot of these pieces throughout the month, and when possible, I want to get the writers of those pieces on the show so that they can talk directly to you about what they think about the Houston Rockets. And now that it's October, one of the first pieces I saw come out was at Bleacher Report, written by my good friend Kelly Scaletta. He's a featured columnist over there, also writes for Today's Fast Break, does a great job covering the Rockets as well as a lot of NBA issues. And I'll say he's a good source because, you know what, he's not just a Rockets fan. Yes, I'm sure he wants the team to do well, as most people around the Rockets certainly do, but he's not just a run-of-the-mill Rockets fan that has red-colored glasses on and just puts everything through that filter. If he has red colored glasses on, it's because of his Chicago Bulls. But he's very much a neutral guy when it comes to the Rockets, and his piece, it's pretty optimistic. Says a lot of good things. Actually, dispels a lot of the lazy national narratives regarding James Harden. Talks about why he believes D'Antoni's system can work, why he believes Houston's bench is a lot better than people are giving it credit for, and just a lot of unique insight that I haven't seen in a lot of the other national previews that have been put out thus far. Now, Kelly has not joined us on Locked On Rockets before, but I've had him on shows in the past. He's a great guest. So with this preview out, again, it's at Bleacher Report titled Houston Rockets Complete 2016-2017 NBA Season Preview. He seems like a natural fit to get on the show. Talks a lot of good stuff. Probably the most interesting, where I'm going to start with, he absolutely tears the 2015-2016 Rockets to shreds when it comes to the power forward position. And I know after the preseason opener last night, there were some people criticizing Ryan Anderson. He did go 5 for 15 in the game and seemed to struggle a little bit finishing inside. Well, again, what I told you guys still applies today. That's not a matchup that's made for Ryan Anderson. When you're talking about an NBA team like the Rockets against a Chinese team, it's an athletic mismatch, and the guys that excelled in that game were the athletes along the lines of James Harden, KJ McDaniels, Nene, just physical freaks that the Chinese players just could not match up with from a speed and or power standpoint. Ryan Anderson's game is not really made for that. What Ryan Anderson's game is made for is being a mismatch at the NBA level and being able to draw power forwards really all the way 25 feet away from the basket and give players like James Harden more room to operate because of how Anderson can pull guys away from the rim. And then when he pulls them away from the rim, he's then able to use, you know, surprisingly adept athleticism at beating them off the dribble and making some things happen one-on-one. Again, Anderson's game predicated on mismatches, so I would not draw any major conclusions from what happened in one game against a Chinese team in which he shot, 5 of 15. Big picture, and Kelly explains this in his preview, he is a big upgrade on the power forward position, especially relative to the likes of Terrence Jones and Josh Smith and an injured Jonatas Mantiunas, who the Rockets threw out as their power forward starters last year. Even if Anderson is just average, just slightly above average overall, it's going to be a big upgrade for this team, and it's one reason to believe that the Rockets are potentially going to be a lot better than the 41-41 eighth seed that they were this past year. So if anybody's down on Ryan Anderson, I'm going to have Kelly come on momentarily and tell you, just why, even at $80 million, why he is a big signing for this team and it should be part of a big improvement this coming year. Going to get to Kelly in just a second, but for now, I do want to acknowledge our friends at SeatGeek who are making this show possible. They're a great organization because they know that for fans like us, buying tickets online for sports has been a confusing process for quite a while. It's always hard to find the best deal for the right game or even the concert that you might want to go to. And many of the older ticket sites, they just don't want to change that because the confusion works to their advantage. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for us, the sports fans. They do the price comparisons for us by comparing multiple ticket sites to ensure that you're getting the best possible deal when you buy tickets. They do that by grading every ticket on the site from 1 to 100, with 100 being the best deal so you can very easily find any underpriced seats and get the best deals for your budget. I think it's a really good tool if you want to buy tickets for the Rockets this preseason. Again, tomorrow night against the Knicks, it's a big game. If you're in Houston, I would encourage you to come out. It's going to be the Rockets' first game against an NBA opponent, and this is a deeper team than a lot of people might expect. So if you want to come out, it's a preseason game, so you can get tickets for a lot cheaper than normal. You'll see a lot of these really intriguing young players for the Rockets play, and SeatGeek is a great place to get those tickets. But again, important part, to get your $20 rebate on the tickets, here's what you do. Download that SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and type in or add a promo code and then type in the promo code LO Rockets. SeatGeek will then send you $20 in the mail after you've made your first ticket purchase. So remember, download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Rockets today. I should also mention, for those of you who are not in Houston, that yes, it's a nationally televised game, so everyone should be able to watch tomorrow night on ESPN as the Rockets take on the Knicks. And well, if you are in Houston, that's all the more reason to hopefully pack the Toyota Center as much as you can. No, there's not going to be a sellout for a preseason game, but at least make the arena look pretty happening and put on a good show for the national folks as they tune in to Toyota Center. Anyway, I've delayed long enough. I've got Kelly on hold. He's with us and ready to talk about his expectations for the Rockets this season. So if you will stick with me for just one moment, Kelly Scaletta is going to be on with us. All right, now we have Kelly on the phone with us. Kelly is a featured writer on both Bleacher Report and Today's Fast Break, where he covers the Rockets and the NBA. Great follow on Twitter at Kelly Scaletta, and glad to have him on Locked On Rockets for the first time. Kelly, welcome to the show, bud.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Doing well. I've been talking earlier in this show about your Rockets season preview, which you just published at the end of last week for Bleacher Report. Pretty optimistic on the whole. You have them picked at 45-37, third in the division, definitely a playoff team in the Western Conference. There's a lot of interesting things in the story. You feature areas of concern, areas of strength. One thing that I really was intrigued by in this story you did on the Rockets for this season, you spoke about the power forward position and, of course, the off-season acquisition of Ryan Anderson. And it's not just, you know, how good or not good Anderson is. I mean, hopefully at $80 million, he's at least, you know, average or somewhat above average. But you pointed out just how bad Houston's power forwards were last year. And even if you get, you know, average to slightly above average production out of Ryan Anderson, it's potentially a huge upgrade from the likes of Terrence Jones and Josh Smith. So I'll start you off with basically elaborate just how bad was Houston at the power forward position last year.
Well, what I did is I took the starting power forward, whomever that happened to be, and you know it changed from one game to game because there were so many injuries. Well, off because everything was such a disaster. So you had, I think, Harrell had a start. You had Josh Smith in there. You had Terrence Jones. You had Monte Junis. And you had Clint Capella. And Capella was the only one who, when he started, was not complete basketball vomit.
Yeah.
The rest were just awful.
And now Capella's your center, so.
What's that?
I said, and now Capella's your center, so.
Yeah, and now Capella's your center. And hopefully, you know, that's a whole other thing, but I think that's the right move. But the power forwards, what I did is I took whoever the starting power forward was, and I just looked at, these are the possessions they used. And what would happen based on his three-point rate, his shooting percentages, his free throw rate, his free throw percentage, what would happen if Anderson used those possessions,
yep,
instead of whoever the person presently failing at the position was last year? And I figured out that the possessions the power forward used, when a power forward used a possession last season, or a starting power forward,
yep,
used a possession last season, the offensive rating of the Rockets was 94.5. If Anderson just gets, you know, if just using those possessions based on his rates and percentages, their offensive rating on those possessions would be 109.3.
That's a huge upgrade, yeah.
15 points a game, or 15 points per 100 possessions that a power forward uses, that's huge.
That's what I was going to say. Another thing defensively you pointed out that was interesting, you know, people fixate on Ryan Anderson not being a good defender, but as you said, it's not like they were dominating defensively at that position last year. Terrence Jones was laughably bad as far as his per-minute production defensively.
Yeah, if I remember right, he was actually the worst power forward in terms of his defensive real plus-minus last year. So I looked at, I just prorated the minutes and looked at his minutes versus theirs. And defensively, I'm trying to I think he was, it was,
he was worse than Anderson, you said.
Yeah, they were actually a little bit worse with, so he's actually, even though he is a horrible defender, and I'm not trying to say he's not,
yeah,
still an upgrade over the disaster that was there last year.
Right.
Because at least he can grab a rebound.
Yes, he is definitely an average rebounder. He will hustle. You know, he's limited defensively because of his, certain deficiencies. His lateral quickness is not that good. He's also not the strongest guy, but he can rebound. He certainly hustles. He brings you something, which is a lot of the time was not there at all with the likes of Terrence Jones or Monty Unis, when Monty Unis is pretty clearly still limited by injury this past year. The interesting thing.
And the other thing that I think, you know, you can say, well, that, you know, numbers are numbers, but I mm-hmm. think, you know, and they're not necessarily going to reproduce in Houston, but I think his numbers actually, I think the numbers undersell Anderson here.
Yeah.
Because he is such a perfect fit with James Harden on offense.
Good point.
To have the court opened up for Harden, who's already so good at driving, so good at getting to the free throw stripe, and now you're going to pull a big out from underneath there, it's just, it's going to make Harden better, and he's already one of the most efficient volume scorers in the game. So, I think it's actually more than the... Yes.
Yeah. They're obviously better at the power forward position. I'm curious just how much of a drop-off there is at center. You know, that's kind of the counter to this, where obviously Dwight Howard was an iffy fit, but certainly, while he's not a star anymore, he's still a good player. However, you can easily argue that Clint Capella and Nene are better basketball fits with what James Harden and Mike D'Antoni want to do. So while the Rockets are clearly better at power forward, how much worse are they, if any, at center? I'm curious on your take of, you know, Dwight Howard's overall dominance might be a stretch, but still a very good player, versus the fit of Capella and Nene.
Yeah, it's really hard to say because, you know, with Howard, he kind of just stopped playing at a certain point last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was obvious that he just was no longer, excuse me, he was no longer engaged on the same level. And so, it's not so much the question of, how much of a drop-off is it from Dwight Howard to Clint Capella. It's how much of a drop-off is it from a disinterested Dwight Howard to a highly engaged Clint Capella. And while there's still some difference there, I think it mitigates it a lot, especially with the fact that, you know, Capella right now, he's the more athletic player. He's actually kind of a freak athlete for a man his size. So, and of course, the biggest strike against Capella is the free throw shooting, and it's hard to you know, make that a big strike when you're comparing him with Howard.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think where you might lose something more is in understanding defensive schemes.
Yeah.
The leadership from the defensive level, I think that's the biggest concern. Who's going to be your captain underneath the rim right now?
Yeah. Looking else. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you don't have a big now that can sort of see what's happening and call plays. And I think that communication is a big aspect of defense that maybe a lot of fans don't really consider how important that is.
Yeah. Turning to a thing that I think we'll both agree on easily, which is James Harden. Obviously, Harden has his share of national critics, which I love your usage of saying critics obsessively, almost hyperbolically, focus on Harden's lack of defense. And you just shredded it pretty easy from a statistical standpoint, saying that the last 2 years, the Rockets have outscored their opponents by 460 points when Harden is on the court, and they've been outscored by 162 when he hasn't. To me, no matter what the All-NBA teams show, it's pretty clear that James Harden's a top 10 player in the league, and as such, if you have a top 10 player in the NBA, if your supporting cast is even decent, you know, you should certainly be a winning team, a playoff team. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah. Yeah, I think all of that's fair. You know, I think there are, you know, like with Harden on his defense, it's, you know, here's an interesting stat for you. You know, I can take a guy that is supposedly is a decent defender, Russell Westbrook. Right? If you go and you look at NBA's, the NBA.com's defensive tracking.
Yep.
You know, one thing I like looking at that, and all, of course, all of these things are not entirely definitive. You can't put too much stock into those numbers. But one thing I've been looking, I find interesting is if you look at just the number of attempts player defends per game. That gives you an indication of how active are they on defense. You know, because you're not going to be defending shots if you're not getting in front of the players and challenging them. I think Harden was around 20th in defensive shots. He defended per, and it was around 13. I don't remember the exact number. Russell Westbrook had 7.5.
Wow.
So he's defending about 6 shots more per game than Russell Westbrook is. And he does have his moments where he lapses.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying he doesn't. He has his awful moments. But I think there's also, it's overlooked that he actually has a lot of moments where he's engaged on defense, too. He switches well. He can defend the power. You know, he defends the power forward spot a lot. With his length and his strength, he's able to do that. That's not something a lot of twos can do.
Yeah.
I feel like he's an underrated defender.
Yeah.
If you look at his BRPM, he's about average for a shooting guard. He's not like way down below.
Yeah.
And his when you look at just the onus that's on him offensively, he doesn't have the energy that, say, somebody like LeBron James does. And of course, even if he was engaged all the time, he wouldn't touch LeBron James on defense. So, you know, like, I hope listeners don't beat me up for this.
Yeah.
But LeBron James, at least he has Kyrie Irving to sort of carry the offense for him in spells. He doesn't have to commit 100% of his energy to both sides of the court 48 minutes a game. And I don't think anybody in the league over the last 2 years has had as much singular offensive responsibility on them as Harden does.
Yep.
I think that's where Eric Gordon is going to really help him a lot.
Yeah, and you had a really interesting breakdown. I was going to get to the bench as far as the last angle of, you know, micro discussion here. Gordon, the Rockets have pretty much announced that they do expect Pat Beverly to start. Now, of course, they're going to have Harden as the point guard in official name this year. But basically, Harden...
Points guard.
Yeah.
Points guard.
Points guard. There we go. But yeah, he and Beverly are going to have, you know, fairly similar roles. And Gordon's going to be off the bench. And you actually had a really cool stat in your article that, you know, Gordon's effective field goal percentage against starters was only 48.7%. But against... when facing reserves, Gordon's effective field goal percentage was 52.4. That's a pretty big jump. So it shows you that, you know, playing with Harden and also in that six-man role, it's potentially one that Gordon can be really good at.
Oh, I think he's perfect for it. You know, he can take he's more of a pull-up shooter than he is a catch-and-shoot guy.
Yep.
So he takes some of that responsibility off of Harden. But not like Lawson, where it's almost like if he doesn't have the ball in his hands, he's useless.
Yeah.
Because why would you want somebody else to run your offense other than Harden? who is going to do it better. You need somebody that can take pressure off of Harden, not replace Harden. And so I think Gordon is actually a very good fit. He's good enough off the ball, and he's good enough with the ball that he can be that second ball handler, and he can also knock down shots. And I have him as one of my picks, one of my favorites to win Sixth Man of the Year.
Yep.
I think he's got a really good shot at that. Because there's nobody else on the bench that can score anyway.
Yeah.
So even if the Jamal Crawford type shooting percentages, he's going to score a lot of points.
The other guy on the bench that I wanted to ask you about, and you tweeted about him during the Rockets preseason opener on Sunday, was KJ McDaniels. Now, there's kind of this, you know, there's these three guys, Corey Brewer, KJ McDaniels, and Sam Decker. Now, realistically, two could get minutes, but I would say only of those three, only one of them is going to get major minutes of, I would say, you know, 20 or more per game. You know, I'd say one of those guys isn't going to play much at all. One of those guys is going to play sparingly, you know, 5 or 10 minutes per game, spot minutes if there's foul trouble. And then the other is going to get a legit, you know, 20 minutes per game role. And I know you're a big fan of McDaniels. In that preseason opener, we saw him do some really interesting things with the back cuts for the alley-oops. Tell people why you're bullish on McDaniels and why he potentially could, could beat out Brewer and Decker and be that guy that steps through with a quality 20 minutes per game.
All right. This might sound crazy, but as I was watching the game, and I was just thinking about how he was being used, and you know, he's in this D'Antoni system now, and he's got that incredible athleticism and length, and you know who I was thinking about? You know who was going through my mind?
No.
Sean Marion.
Oh, wow. I actually mentioned that on my on one of my shows last night. Well, I had two shows last night. I had one show about Monty Unis's weird, restricted, and then a post-game thoughts. But yes, I said the same thing in my post-game thoughts that, you know, you don't have to be a great shooter to be, you know, to be a wing under Mike D'Antoni. Sean Marion proved that. And while obviously, you know, you're certainly not going to throw the Sean Marion comparison out there lightly, McDaniels has at least a few of those skills that make you go, you know, it at least makes you intrigued of what could happen if he played that role in a D'Antoni system.
And he's such a defensive playmaker. And I think for his height, he's the best shot blocker in NBA history based on block percentage. He's just a phenomenal defensive playmaker. And so I can see him actually playing minutes with Corey Brewer, who is a fast break machine. So, you know,
yeah,
those, like, I can see McDaniels getting all these steals and feeding him up to Brewer for some easy transition points. And then his offensive rebounding. When he was in Philadelphia, you'd see these insane putbacks where he jumps over the entire defense and just dunks the ball off the glass.
Yeah.
And these are all things that really work in an open style system.
Yeah.
Where you're running fast and you don't have set defenses. And so I'm with you. I don't think he needs to be this great shooter as long as you have other guys who can shoot on the court.
Yep.
Like Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson.
Yep.
I think a place for him and a way for him to be used in the up and down system. And there was a response to that, to his alley-oops, that, okay, yeah, you're not going to get that kind of backdoor cuts in an NBA. And the NBA teams aren't going to give those backdoor cuts so easily. That's true. But when you're running a system when you're running a game that fast,
yeah,
there's going to times where defenses just don't have a chance to get set. And that's where McDaniels can really do a lot of damage.
Yep. Kelly, final question for me. You wrote a great piece for people who haven't read it yet. It's titled Houston Rockets Complete 2016-17 NBA Season Preview. It's on Bleacher Report. Your final prediction for the team was 45-37, playoff team, third in the Southwest Division. I'm sure that's hedging a little bit. We know the downside. You know, they could be worse than that if some of these guys that have had injury issues, the likes of Gordon, Anderson, Nene, you know, if they get hurt, certainly you could be closer to 500. I'm curious about the upside because, you know, if they were 45-37, that'd be a 5 seed last year. In a more normal year, it's probably closer to 6. But looking at the Western Conference, there are two teams, obviously Golden State and San Antonio. Let's take them out of the picture because barring extreme injuries, those teams are going to be better than the Rockets. We know that. Mm-hmm. Besides Golden State and San Antonio, who are the teams that you would say are, I don't know if clearly ahead of the Rockets is fair, but at least at this point that they're probably trying to catch, teams that are probably ahead of them in the pecking order at this particular point in time?
I think the Clippers are.
Okay.
I think it's hard to get around the Clippers being the number three team in the West. Then the next team that I think is going to actually vault past Houston is the Utah Jazz.
Okay.
They made some great moves, and they're just a very, very good defensive team, and now with George Hill, they actually have a real point guard. But after that, I think the number five seed is about the best Houston can do.
Okay.
Somebody else gets injured.
Yeah, I would generally accept the Clippers. I've seen some people skeptical on them based on the analytics models, but the analytics models have been a little, excessively bearish in the Clippers for years now because, you know, they just don't realize how much having a big three like that, until one of them falls off, can dominate games here and there. I would quibble with you a little bit with the Jazz. I would put them in the same tier as the Rockets. The only reason why, I'm not necessarily going to say the Rockets are better. The difference between the two, the Jazz have such depth of good players, but they don't have that one transcendent guy, you know, a Harden-type player, to close out games in the final 2 or 3 minutes. So, to me, you know, while the Jazz certainly could be better than the Rockets, I would argue that, you know, even if the Jazz look better on paper, which they may, they're probably a more talented roster from top to bottom. The presence of Harden, you know, might allow the Rockets to seal some games that the Jazz, led by, you know, Gordon Hayward, Rudy Gobert, whoever it may be, can't. But certainly I'm not going to fault you for saying the Jazz are better because the Jazz have a really loaded roster.
All right, well, you know what? We can compromise on that because this is what I'd say to that.
Yeah.
That in the postseason, what you're saying matters more.
True.
To have that transcendent guy when things really count because you're going up against good teams.
Yeah.
And you scouted them, and now it just becomes a matter of, you know, who is the best player on the court. In the regular season, you're going up against a lot of teams that aren't playoff teams or shouldn't be playoff teams,
yeah,
even if they are. You've got the doldrums of the regular season. So a lot of times it's just depth that wins out over,
yeah,
there.
Yeah, regular season talent ultimately wins out. Gotcha.
So I can see Houston coming out with the art. Utah winning, having a better record, but then Houston coming in with the number five seed and upsetting them in a playoff,
yeah,
series.
Yeah, Houston potentially being a little bit more dangerous playoff team because of that. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Kelly, thank you so much for the time, buddy. Before we let you go, remind people, A, your Twitter handle, and B, the websites where people can find your work.
My Twitter handle is at KellyScaletta.com. Well, at Kelly Scaletta.
Yeah.
And then you can find me on Bleacher Report and on Today's Fast Break.
Excellent. Kelly, thank you so much for the time, and I'll be glad to have you on again in the future, okay?
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Sure thing. That was Kelly Scaletta of Bleacher Report. Great guy, very intelligent writer, does a great blend of humor, analytics, basic insight, and his preview is a must-read for Rockets fans, pretty optimistic one, and, you know, he blends what I would say conventional wisdom with some really neat stat nuggets, like what we heard about James Harden and what we've seen with Eric Gordon and talked about in this last segment. So it's a really good read. I encourage you guys to go find that at Bleacher Report and follow him on Twitter at Kelly Scaletta, where he has lots of really interesting and unique insights. He's one of the more entertaining follows on my Twitter timeline because he's constantly, you know, he's not going to just puppet mainstream talking points. He's a very independent thinker, and he's a good guy to chat with, and really thought he was a great guest on this show. So thanks to him for being here. Thanks to all of you for listening. We're going to wrap up here. You can follow the show on Twitter at Lockdown Rockets. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose, and you can always email the show at lockdownrockets@gmail.com if you would like to become a future sponsor on this show. And again, you can follow in the great footsteps of SeatGeek, who is our sponsor for this show. Just remember that to use that mobile app for the easiest way to buy tickets, and the promo code LORockets will get you a $20 rebate on your first purchase from SeatGeek. Again, thanks to all of you for tuning in, and I'll be back with you again throughout the week. Remember, tomorrow night, Tuesday, October 4th, it's the preseason game, Rockets against the Knicks. It will be nationally televised, so everybody will get a chance to see what these Rockets look like at this particular point in time. Then the team heads up to China for basically a week, and we're going to be away from them for a few days. So we're trying to do a lot of Rockets talk earlier in this week, because when they're in China, well, we're not going to have regular media access, and we're not going to have another game until Sunday. So we may not have too much news, barring something breaking on the Monty Unis front, until later in the week, and especially this weekend. But there's a lot of stuff going on early this week, so thank you guys for listening, and watch the game tomorrow, and afterward we will have more insight here at Lockdown Rockets from Toyota Center. Thank you, and I will be talking to you again tomorrow evening.